we got to jump in now because we are in week two of our series called In God We Trust. We are talking about living in this country where the national motto is In God We Trust. And we're trying to give you some perspective, actions, ways to think about how do I live as a 6th, 7th, and 8th grader in this country fully trusting in God. And in this country, it was an eventful week. The most eventful week that comes in our country usually every 4 years. And so ties in great to what we're talking about today, which is authority. And so, and how to respond to it. And so let's pray and ask God to teach us this morning. Lord, only you have the words of life, so would you teach us this morning? And then I'd invite you guys to pray and ask God to teach you something that it would be useful as you follow Christ. Teach us, God. Help us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, even though Ryan might have set up his Christmas too early, in my opinion, one of the great things about kind of this season is you start to see the holiday movies roll back up, okay? And one of my favorites is Home Alone. Who has seen Home Alone in here? Yeah, it's a classic. If you haven't seen it, you know, check it out with your fam. It's a great movie to watch as a family. Your parents have probably seen it. And in case you haven't seen it, I won't spoil the whole thing, but Kevin McAllister is a kid whose parents, his whole family actually, they go on this trip for Christmas and they leave him at home. And the next morning, they accidentally leave him at home. And the next morning, he wakes up and realizes he's in a giant house all by himself and everybody is gone. And here's him coming to that realization. All of us watch that and we can all relate. Like once we got over the initial like, wow, I don't know where my family is. All of us can relate to being like, I get to do whatever I want when I want, you know, and just being like, nobody can tell me what to do. And I bring that up to say, hey, in a lot of us, if not all of us, there's a piece of us that says, I want to do what I want, when I want, no matter what anybody else says, and nobody can tell me different. But yet we know, like deep down, we know that if everybody lived like that, it would be chaos. We would not want to live in this country if that was the case, where literally everybody just got to do entirely whatever they wanted, when they wanted, and nobody could tell them otherwise. And so where's the line there? Like, and how do we deal with that piece of us that goes, but I want to do whatever I want, but it seems like we know that that wouldn't be good. So where's the line? And here's what I want you to know. God created authority for our good. When I say authority, I mean people that have leadership over you, people that have the right or position to tell you what to do and how to do it, that set the structures and the guidelines and the rules. What I want you to know is God created that for our good. That is controversial to say because I know you hear the word authority and you're like, oh, authority, it would be so much easier if I didn't have that. But the reality is God created authority for our good, especially the more that authority looks like the way God designed it to look. And so, two main reasons why we don't respond well to authority. The first of them is this, our own pride, right? We desire independence, we desire freedom, the freedom and independence to do what we want, when we want. That is pride, the idea that, hey, I know whatever authority can tell me, I know better for myself. That's one reason why we don't respond well to authority. The other one is maybe because we've had bad experiences with authority. Maybe we've had bad experiences with parents, with guardians, with teachers, with camp counselors, with coaches, on and on and on. Our experience, our interactions, our relationships with authority haven't been what God has designed for them to be. And so we have this mindset of, man, I brush up against all authority because I've mostly experienced bad authority. And no authority is perfect. right? And at times, that's why our view is clouded of it. In this world, no authority is perfect. But this morning, I want to point to three kinds of authority that God designed and talk about how we should respond to each of them. Now, the first one is this, authority in the home. The authority that you guys experience most directly on a day-to-day basis, your parents or your guardians. It affects your life most directly. And here's what I want you to know. God established his family all the way back in Genesis 1 and 2 when he creates Adam and Eve and when he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and that a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and they should be one flesh. That was all established before the fall, before Adam and Eve ate of the apple, before sin was introduced. It is a good thing, that level of authority. And when it comes to the authority that your parents have, or your guardians have, here's a word I just want you to remember and think about as you think about the authority they have. And it's this word, shepherd. Specifically, man, that guiding you from the moment you're born until you're an adult. Shepherd. That's the word to think about as you think about the authority of your parents. Because your parents' role is to guide you as you grow into an adult. Now, a big piece of that is providing for your basic needs. You need food. You need clothing. You need shelter. You need somewhere to lay your head. And your parents are supposed to provide all those things. But it's more than just that. It is guiding you into the idea of, hey, how do I live life well? How do I thrive? What are the things I should do if I want to not just succeed, but have a life well lived? What are the things I should avoid? In other words, to guide you on how to walk with God more closely, on how to follow Jesus and everything that he lays out. That's a parent's job, is to guide you as you grow up into adulthood so that when you become an adult, you're ready to go. It's that idea of like learning to ride a bike. I'm guessing when most of you ride a bike, you don't have to call your parents and say, hey, will you push me so I can get started again? Most of you have probably already learned, or you're really close to be able to just ride the bike on your own. And that's the idea there, is that they are guiding you so that as an adult, you know how and you are fully ready to lead a life that is beneficial to you, to others, as a life well lived, as a life that honors and follows God. So like in my own life with my 2-year-old daughter, here's what this looks like. There's a donut shop right by our house. Shout out to Zach's Donuts. And we sometimes will walk to the donut shop. Harper and I, we will walk to get donuts. And we have a rule anytime we have to cross the street, because to get to the donut shop, we have to cross one street. And the rule is whenever we cross the street, she has to hold mommy or daddy's hand. But like the reason I have to set that rule is because Harper would just go. She hears the word donut and she just takes off, right? And so if I wasn't there, she would run right into the street. She wants to do what she wants when she wants, no matter what. Her favorite word, one of her favorite words right now is no. But I know that that's not best for her. I would be a terrible parent if I was like, yep, you do what you want. Go have nuts. Go run in that street. And so that would be a terrible parenting move. They would probably take her away if I was cool with that. And so that's why we have that rule. Now that sounds like a silly example because you're like, I know how to cross the street, but it's the same idea. There are all these different things in your world and your lives that are like, hey, here, partake in this. Hey, do this. And your parents' job is to help you and show you and say, hey, you want to know how to have a life well lived? You want to know how to thrive? Go this way. So, if that's their role, how are you supposed to respond to their authority? We're going to go all the way back to the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Here's the commandment about your parents. It says, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord is giving you. You are supposed to honor your parents. And that means to honor them with obedience, respect, and grace. Obedience means you do what your parents ask. Right away, all the way, and in a happy way. Right? Respect means you don't talk back to them. You don't disrespect them with your words, your actions, your looks. Right? You don't roll your eyes at them all the time. You respect them. And then grace means you give them grace. You honor them by giving them grace. Can I just be really honest with you guys? I know it's hard to be a student. And I know it's hard to be a student in 2020. It's also hard to be a parent. And so as a parent, hey, give your parents some slack. Being a parent is tough because here's what you got to do. You got to always take the long-term view. It would be really easy for me to just like, when my kids are like, hey, I want another cookie. I want to watch another show. Then it would be really easy for me to just go, yes, and be the hero. That would be the short-term view. But I have to take the long-term view with my kids, and so do your parents. It would be so much easier for them to just give you whatever you want whenever you want it. But that's not their job. Their job is to say no or set boundaries on the front end so for your good in the long term. And it's a lot harder to see, I know, in your seats. And no authority is perfect. So give your parents some grace. But then I want you, a lot of us knew about honor your father and mother. We know that's one of the Ten Commandments, but we may not have remembered the second part of this verse. It's actually the first commandment that has a promise at the end. It says, honor your father and mother, and here's the promise. Then you will live a long, full life wherever the Lord has you. There is a promise that it's meant for your good. It's meant for your good to honor your parents. God designed the family. He designed the authority in your home to be a blessing for you, a place of protection and provision, a path to a life well lived for your good. In fact, it's such a big deal. It's brought up again in the New Testament in Ephesians 6. And Paul writes this, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Paul recognizes, hey, there's a promise here. Things will go well for you, and you will have a long life in the land. Guys, that's the promise. It's for your good. You'll have a long life in the land.
Look, Lord. This land is your land, and this land is my land.
What are you doing?
From the California to the New York Island.
Okay. It didn't make sense. You heard the word land and you started playing, this land is your land. But, okay, regardless of that, Ryan, okay, so transition from that. Here's what we need to know. Ryan did that because he heard this land, he heard land and he went, this land is your land. A song a lot of us probably know. There's a lot of other patriotic songs out there. And maybe the reason that we get excited when we hear those, although I don't know that it's this land is your land that gets me fired up patriotically, but we also get to live in this country. And there's a sense of patriotism that comes with that. Now, not the crazy sense, but like the kind where when the Olympics are on, I'm like, let's go, America. Right? I want to see Michael Phelps dominate. And I want to see the swim team catch up at the very end and win gold. Like, there's a sense of patriotism we have because we go, hey, I'm a part of this. This is my land. This is my country. And I'm a part of it. And it's ruled by a government, which is the second authority that's in our lives that God designed. It's ruled, our country is ruled by government, chosen by its people to lead and represent us. All right, now because of your stage of life as 6th, 7th, 8th graders, I'm going to include teachers and other authority figures in this area as well. Teachers, most teachers are actually government employees anyway, but I want you to think about, as we talk about this, not just the government, but also the other authority figures in your life. Okay, and so I want us to read Romans 13, 1 through 5. Here's what it says. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. And so we talked about when the word to think of with your parents is shepherd. Here's the word to think about with government: protect. All right? The government was instituted to protect. And when God institutes government in Genesis 9, the reason that he gives for doing so is because he says, hey, I made human beings in my own image. If you remember the label series, we all wear that label that is Imago Dei. Created in God's image. Image bearers of God. And God is saying, hey, because everybody's made in my image, there needs to be a governing body that whose job is to protect my image bearers. And so the government's role is to protect. To protect people from threats on the outside and the inside. To protect the common good of all the people. To protect liberties and freedoms of each human being. As I'm saying those, you might recall something from a social studies class you've been in, because those are woven into the very fabric of this country, from the very beginning of this country. But God wove those in from the very, very beginning. Genesis 9, way before 1776. Okay, now your teacher's role is to prepare you, right? Education is power. And they go, hey, I want to give my students education so that they might grow and thrive and have a life well lived. And so God instituted government and authority in your life for your good, for the good of all the people. So how do you respond to government? Well, let's look at that Romans 13. You submit to them. Okay, throw back up verse 5 there, Michael. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Okay, now look, the primary motivation of this, the primary motivation of submitting to government, right? It says not only to avoid punishment, but to keep a clear conscience. What it's getting at when it says to keep a clear conscience is honoring God. The primary motivation of submission to government is to honor God, not to avoid punishment. Here's another way I would say it. If you are a Christ follower, the way that you submit to government should reflect the way that you submit to God. Your citizenship in America should reflect your citizenship in heaven. If you have put your faith in Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. You will spend eternity in heaven with God. And so your submission here, your citizenship here in America, should reflect your citizenship in heaven. So submit to the authorities in your life. Remember, there is no perfect authority on earth. I know you might have teachers that are not great. I had teachers that were not great. But you still submit to them and you still honor them. You don't talk about them behind their backs. You don't make fun of them. You don't go to class every day thinking, what can I get away with here? You honor your teachers. You submit to them. And you have to decide now if you're going to submit to the government, what that's going to look like. In the way you drive, will you submit to what the government and the ruling authorities ask of you in this country? Will you break every law because all that matters is you getting where you want to go when you want to go? You got to decide now. When you're offered the opportunity to drink or smoke when you're underage, when you're offered the opportunity to partake in something that's illegal no matter what age you are, how are you going to respond to that? What will you do? Decide now, because it'll be easier to decide now than it will in the future. Now, some of that, I understand, some of that feels small, or it feels like it's easy to compartmentalize and say, well, that's just its own thing over there. That's not really what the Bible means. It is what the Bible means, is that you would submit to the authority over you. And the way you follow Christ is shown by the way you submit to the authority that God's put over you. Okay, so lastly, I want to talk about authority in the church. So we see the church formed in Acts chapter 2. That's right after Jesus has risen from the dead and then also ascended into heaven. And so he is in heaven, and the believers, the apostles, are in the upper room, right? And you've got Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit comes in them, and then, boom, the church begins. And here's what it says about the early church in Acts 2. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met at homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now that's the early church, right? Right when it was formed. That's what the church should look like, anywhere it is. And what we can gather from that, the role of the church is to proclaim. The church was established by God, instituted by God, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now that's a weird thing to say, and sometimes you actually hear that around here and you're like, what does that even mean? Here's what that means. The church is to be the visible, real life picture of how God loves us in Christ. So the church tries to bring everything that Christ brings to the people of earth. Hope, healing, restoration, provision, and all of that through the power of Christ working in the people of the church. And so how do you respond to the authority of the church? You choose to be under it. Now, I say that, and your ears might have perked up because you went, hey, I can't choose whether or not I want to be under the authority of my parents. I can't choose whether or not I want to be under the authority of government or teachers. But I get to choose one? Well, that sounds great. Why would I choose that? I'm just going to choose not to, because finally I can choose, and I'm not going to choose to be under the authority. Well, let me explain what I mean by that. Right now, unless you are a member of Watermark Church, which not many of you are, and that's okay. I'm not condemning you for that. Your leaders are. They are members of this body. I am. Awake staff is. If you are not a member here, you're not officially under Watermark's authority. Now, obviously, you're under your parents' authority, and your parents might be members here. But when you read Acts, when you read the New Testament, it's assumed that believers were members of a local church. They were members of a local group of believers, a local body, just like we read in Acts 2. That was just understood, okay? And so, like, we see Peter talking about the authority of the church in his letter, 1 Peter 5, and it says this, "In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor." And Peter talks about submitting and being underneath the authority of the elders. And here's why. Because it's important. Because it's important. And he talks about it in a way, he uses humble and humility a lot, because he's saying it takes humility to be under the church's authority. But that it's for your good. It takes humility to say, I need help to follow Jesus. But in that humility, you will receive grace as you're cared for by a local church. Right? You will receive honor as you're sharpened by that local church. And it's not only saying, I need help to follow Christ, but it's also saying, hey, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the church. I want to contribute to the mission that this church is on. And the mission that this church is on is to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And so for you guys, here's kind of how that plays out, right? Because what I'm not like telling you is that, hey, everybody should just automatically sign your name on a piece of paper and become a member right now. That's not what I'm telling you. But what I do want you to know, we talk a lot about Wake being a place we want every student to be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. Well, part of that challenge to grow is helping you guys to own your faith. If you've put your faith in Jesus and believed in him and surrendered to him, We want to help you own your faith. And like, you realize we give you more and more freedom, right? Like, last year, if you're in sixth grade, last year you had to check in every time you went to Crossroads 45. That's a good thing that you did, but we don't ask you to check in up here. In kids' ministry, your parents have to come and pick you up. Here, your parents can come up here, or you can meet them down at the pond. Right? Small groups happen not here, and not they're not mandatory. You sign up to be in one, and they meet in your houses. And the reason we do that is because we want you guys to own your faith more and more and more. Not your parents' faith, not my faith or any of the kids' ministry staff's faith, but your faith. We want you to own it. And our hope is that, yes, eventually you would become members here, because that's where more life is found. And we want to continue to invite students to be part of the body, to contribute to the mission, to be sharpened here. And if you ever want to know more specifically about being a member here, man, talk to your leader. Talk to us. We would love to help you do that. It is a great thing. I would tell you, I've been a member of Watermark for 6 years, and I've been a member of a couple churches before that when I lived in different spots. And I love Jesus, and I know Jesus, and I trust him more from being a member in a church. That's the easiest way to say it. It has been one of the best parts of my life to have help following Jesus and to be a part of a mission. And so, man, guys, choose to be under the authority of a church. If not now, man, own your faith more now and be on the track of doing that, because that is where life is found. So, real quick, I want to answer a question you might be thinking. Hey, is there ever a point where I would not submit to any of these authorities? We said there's no perfect authority, but would there ever be a time where I wouldn't submit? And let me give you two reasons. The first one would be this. If any of those authorities cause you to sin against your greater allegiance to God and to Jesus, you would not submit. But even in that, I would tell you, don't do that alone. Bring in other people to get their counsel, and try to find middle ground. Try to find honorable ways to do that before you ever just rebel. Bring people in to help you. And then the second reason you might not submit is if, man, any one of those authorities is actively hurting you. Like if you're being hurt by an authority, I'm talking physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. Man, if that's you and somebody in authority over you is hurting you, hey, your first move is to tell somebody. It's not your fault, but tell somebody. Bring in help so that you can get out from underneath that hurt. Those would be two reasons why you would not submit to one of those authorities. Okay, so think back to Home Alone and how great that looked, how much fun it looked like young Kevin McAllister was having. But, you know, by the end of the movie, Kevin kind of does come to this realization where he goes, you know what? My authority not only was pretty good, but like it was for my good. Like he misses the structure. He misses the provision. He has to do everything on his own. Like he misses the structure and provision his parents bring. And not only that, he misses the security that they bring as he's chased down by the wet bandits, who are maybe some of the worst robbers of all time, but like they're still chasing him. And he misses the security the authority gives him in his life. It is, even Kevin realizes it is for his good. And I want to close by just saying this. Hey, when I think about authority, I think about a book that I had to read in high school called Lord of the Flies. You might have to read it one day. I don't know if you will. Jacob's had to read it. I had to read it in high school. And here's what it's about. This group of young kids crash lands on an island, and they're there by themselves, and they try to survive, and in trying to survive, they start this society, and it goes really bad. I mean, like, really bad. And to the point where they're burning down the whole jungle on the island, and other bad stuff's happening too. And so, right at the heat of all this, like, it's just going terrible, these kids who have lost all their innocence, these kids who are acting like crazy adults, they stumble upon this naval officer, this guy in the Navy, he's a uniformed adult, and they immediately become kids again because they realize where authority really is. They realize who authority is, and they immediately start weeping. They realize, hey, we're just kids. We don't have authority. This is authority. And I say that because the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And all of us will be in that same position. But Jesus offers salvation for every rebellion against authority. Every time that we have rebelled against authority, that is sin. And that sin gives us a destination that is death and separation from God. But Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice to pay for that. And if we would just surrender to him, we would have eternal life in heaven with God. And then lastly, Jesus also offers the only perfect authority. Now, a lot of you, probably all of you in some way, have experienced poor authority. Some of you in harmful ways, in devastating ways. But God is a perfect authority who cares about you. He is a good, good father, just like the song we sing all the time. He's a good, good father. He's a good dad, and he loves you. And if you will surrender your life to him in Christ, man, you will find the best authority. And you will find the authority that gives life because it's for your good.